Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I am Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our current events update and then our study in Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, titled The Lord's Controversy. The conclusion of this two-part message can be found at BBFOhio.com as we now begin. This is part 1 of 2.
To the end of the current events update. Most of you are aware that Israel is at war. Today, 4/17/24, is day 194, according to I-24 News in Israel. They still report 133 hostages. We've talked about how that number is probably lower, and maybe as many as half of those aren't actually still living. So it's something to pray about as we wait for Israel's response to Iran's huge barrage of missiles and drones. Of course, most of you are aware of that, and we showed a little clip of it Sunday, but this is a report on Israel preparing to respond.
Israel has vowed a response to Iran's massive air assault on the Jewish state. 350 ballistic missiles and drones were launched on Saturday night. 99% were shot down.
We are closely assessing the situation. We remain at our highest level of readiness. Iran will face the consequences for its actions. We will choose our response accordingly.
The question now is, how will Israel respond and when? The scope of the threat was unprecedented. Iran launched enough firepower to level a city. That it was stopped with only superficial damage has afforded Israel some leeway in its response.
Either in Iran or outside Iran. Inside Iran, strategic targets like military bases, air bases, nuclear facilities. These are some of the components, maybe also some some symbols, state symbols of Iran, which would mean definitely hitting at the mullahs, and this could be also a choice.
Israel has signaled it will hit Iran in a way that hurts, without provoking an all-out war. NBC reports and cites U.S. officials that the U.S. believes Israel will limit the attack to Iranian proxies in the region, likely IRGC affiliates in Syria. But a response that's too limited risks giving Iran a sense of impunity and setting a precedent for such large-scale air assaults. And that means the possibility of a strike on Iran's nuclear program that has the U.N. worried.
We are always concerned about this possibility. What I can tell you is that our inspectors in Iran were informed by the Iranian government that on the yesterday all the nuclear facilities that we are inspecting every day would remain closed on security considerations.
Unlikely targets include Iran's soft underbelly, its oil and gas infrastructure. The United States would heavily oppose any actions that would spike oil prices during an election year. In any strike option, the enemy also gets a say, and the whole Middle East now hangs on the precipice of total war.
Anybody here worried? You shouldn't be, but we are to be informed and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But I think if it turns into an all-out war, we're probably looking at Bible prophecy being fulfilled, Ezekiel 38, Gog-Magog war, I believe happens either right before or right after the rapture. That's what I hope my guesstimate is right there. There's no clear indication. I always point to the fact that it says that when Israel's attacked, that they'll burn the weapons for 7 years, which happens to be the length of time for Daniel's 70th week and the Great Tribulation. So, after meeting Herzog, UK's Cameron, that's United Kingdom, Great Britain, says it's clear Israel will respond to the Iran attack. There's been some question whether they even really would. It really does look like they're gonna. And the Iranian president said this: the tiniest invasion by Israel will be met with a massive response. Well, they're assured of getting the tiniest. So that's a threat. But those guys have been threatening, and this attack this weekend was the first time they really kept their word when they threatened. Meanwhile, in Lebanon, Israel fights Iran's proxy Hezbollah cult. So Israel's fighting Hezbollah in the north in Lebanon, but they're funded and really doing the bidding of Iran. This happened today, a drone and missile attack in northern Israel. That happened about noon our time, I think it was. And 14 soldiers were wounded and 4 civilians killed. The last I heard is a total of 18. I think that's... So then Israel responded already to that up in Lebanon. So all this stuff's going on while we're going about our day. There's all this stuff going on in Israel. And we are on the brink of Gog Magog. I don't know if it's going to happen right now, but that's where we're at right now as far as how everything's set up. Go listen to our message on Gog Magog and Russia and Turkey and the Islamic Alliance. They're all right now together. And let me tell you, the world is asleep. And I mean, that includes most Christians, you know. They have no idea. If you were to talk to them about what I'm talking about right now, they have no idea what you're talking about.
And God's
people are supposed to be the most informed people on the planet. And most of the professing Christians that I know and I've come across and I watch on TV and radio and listen to the preaching out there, they don't talk about it, they don't mention it. They're too busy, you know, talking about their feelings and all that stuff. So, in the meantime, we continue to stand with Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, leftist Marxists are intent on having communistic one-party ruling government and in news media. And, of course, that'll set up America for the beast system. That's what's behind us. They don't know that. If you talk to these people, they wouldn't, 99 out of 100 wouldn't say they know that. But that's what's behind it. This guy was honest enough to tell us what most of us already know, and that is that NPR, National Public Radio, which is in the same outfit as PBS, they're all supposed to be public, they're publicly funded, and they're supposed to be neutral. They are totally leftist. And this guy is a liberal, but he's telling you the truth. Quote, his name's Yuri Berliner. He's a Peabody Award-winning senior editor at NPR. He's one of them. He said, quote, with declining ratings, sorry levels of trust, and an audience that has become less diverse over time, the trajectory for NPR is not promising. Go woke, go broke. That's what's happening to them. Two paths seem clear. We can keep doing what we're doing, hoping it will all work out, or we could start over with the basic building blocks of journalism. Journalism is dead in the mainstream media right now. There's no such thing. They're all propagandists. They're activists. They're political activist propagandists. That's what they are. We could face up to what we've gone wrong. I think it's been done wrong. News organizations don't go in for that kind of reckoning, but there's a good reason for NPR to be the first. We're the ones with the word public in our name, end quote. Well, this is the leftist liberal woman who suspended him.
The number one challenge here that we see is, of course, the First Amendment in the United States is a fairly robust protection of rights, and that is a protection of rights both for platforms, which I actually think is very important that platforms have those rights to be able to regulate what kind of content they want on their sites. But it also means that it is a little bit tricky to really address some of the real challenges of where does bad information come from and sort of the influence peddlers who have made a real market economy around it.
It was a little garbled because it was on their end. I tried to find a better quality. Everybody was playing this same clip. But she's saying the First Amendment is a challenge. To what? To silencing the people they want to silence. That's what she said. The people, when she says those people who are basically making a living giving the opposite view. And, well, we've got that pesky First Amendment. That's what we're facing. And then a couple of hours ago, after I was already putting this together, I had it together for tonight's study, I got this notification. He was going to be fired, he thought, so he resigned. I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged. And she suspended him and then went on a public campaign against him. And so he claimed an open-minded spirit no longer exists at the taxpayer-funded outlet. We are paying for that. Can you believe that? And it's a fact. The left are low IQ, power-hungry Marxists. And we've been showing you examples. When I tell you this stuff, it's not because I just think it. I've experienced this for 30 years, folks. Most of the left-wingers that you know didn't earn their way through college. Yeah. They didn't earn their way into college. And most of the people you see on ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and so forth, they were put there because of their sex or the color of their skin or the fact that they boast about being a sodomite. That's why they were put in the school. And that's a disaster. That's why we need to re-educate all Christians in this country. Martin Luther King Jr. was not a hero. The Civil Rights Act is communism. We want equal treatment of all people, but not through government control. The government telling you what to do with your property, that's communism. And now they're doing the same thing for other things. It started with, well, you got to let the black people in. Hey, if I owned a restaurant, I want everybody to come in. But if Fred down there owns a restaurant and he doesn't want the black people in there, if it's so bad, then why are so many blacks doing it now? Why are so many black organizations saying blacks only? Wait a minute, if that's such a terrible sin, whites only, why isn't it a terrible sin to say blacks only? And why are you, some of you, looking nervous because I'm talking about it? Because you've been brainwashed. Amen. And we got to get the brainwashing out of our heads. Amen. I'm for equal treatment under the law, black, white, yellow, purple, blue. I don't care. But what we're getting now is communism. Why? Because Martin Luther King Jr. was a Christ-denying apostate. He rejected the virgin birth of Jesus. If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, he's not our Savior. He's a criminal. Right. Yep. He's virgin born. Amen. He denied the bodily resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. And that's in addition to the womanizing and all the other things you can find out about Martin Luther King in his lifetime. But he has been created a hero because of his Marxist views. And what's incredible to me are how many conservatives in the political realm preach at you about how wonderful he was. Total denial of his apostate views. Total denial of his Marxist views. If you want some black heroes, we got a bunch of books in here by good black people. If you want Latino heroes, we got some of those too, and we can give you some names. If you want to go race-based and you want to find some people who are non-white that you want to, you know, read about and appreciate and everything, there are plenty of them out there, but he's not one of them. And if you think I'm a racist, I think white people in this country are the biggest problem we got. They're the majority, and the majority of the white people in this country are Christ-rejecting fools. Amen. That have anything to do with race. Has everything to do with being honest. We've got a country that is just living a lie. Everybody's walking around lying. And lying. Let's be honest. The left are low IQ, power-hungry Marxists. That's a statement that I can back up. And I've shown you over and over. You may recall this from last week. Democrat Congressman Sheila Lee Jackson of Houston, Texas, said this about the moon. And I apologize to all the homeschool kids. You may have to unteach what you're about to hear, but this is true.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat. It is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable. And you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Listen, you think that's stupid? You know, almost every Democrat and progressive Republican and libertarian that you know will tell you that a baby in the womb is not a baby. That's crazier than that. We're living surrounded by a brainwashed cult. They want you to call a man ma'am. They want you to call if whatever you feel like, that's what they're supposed to call you. That's worse than that. But I like the Babylon Bee's headline. Sheila Jackson Lee asked why Elon Musk wants to colonize Mars since it's just a giant ball of spaghetti sauce.
Really?
In the interest of fairness, though, Democrat Congressman Sheila Jackson Lee responds to our laughter. This was on the floor of Congress.
The lady is recognized for 1 minute without objection.
What a great amount of excitement yesterday when I left downtown Houston and went to one of our community schools to engage with young Hispanic and African American students on the eclipse that had not been seen for years and years and years. What an enthusiastic message we were giving them, that they too can stand for science and the solar system. Yet my Republican friends want to make light of some interpretation that I gave to one of the elements of this eclipse. Rather than being excited about the idea of those seeing the eclipse, Republicans again wanted to make fun. They didn't want to talk about prenatal care. They didn't want to talk about the idea of women's rights. They didn't want to talk about school student loan reduction. They wanted to talk about a Democratic member. Well, I'm glad I was standing with these children right here. Here I am to be able to celebrate the eclipse that will not be seen for another 40, for another time until 2044.
You told those kids that the moon is a ball of gas. And she wants to just say, they wanted to talk about me. Yeah, you went to the solar eclipse at a school and told all the kids that the moon is made of gas. It's standard operation procedure, is that what that says? SOP, standard operation procedure. Do the thing, then point at those who call you on it and label them racist and misogynist. That's exactly how they always deal with it. You do something crazy or wicked or whatever, and when people call you on it, you say, well, you're just a racist. And if you're a woman of any color, you're a misogynist. That's how they respond.
Tonight, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee's campaign acknowledging a troubling audio recording that's made waves in the run up to early voting in the Houston mayor's race. In the recording, a woman can be heard going on a profanity-laced tirade against a staffer. The clip has been shared extensively over the last few days, and just about an hour ago, Jackson Lee's campaign issued a lengthy statement expressing regret for past behavior. The statement stopped short of explicitly admitting that it was Jackson Lee in the recording, but the statement said in part, "I want to convey to the people of Houston that I strongly believe that everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and respect, and that includes my own staff. I know that I am not perfect."
I'm going to stop right there. Do you see an apology in there?
No.
See, the news media lie. And they expect you just to... There was no apology for past behavior or anything in the statement. There never will be. There never is. Why? Well, because that's how baby-killing Marxist reprobates apologize. Goes back to years ago. How many of you remember Bill Clinton's apology for what he did? You remember that apology? What they usually say is, "I'm sorry that I upset you." They're not sorry about what they did. They're sorry they got caught, maybe. But they're, "I'm sorry that it upset you." And a lot of people just don't listen to what's being said. They don't realize they're being conned again by the way that they're being talked to. I'm just going to give you one more. This was sent into a newspaper. I understand that Democrat Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas attended the Discovery launch. This was in 1997. Wasn't she the congresswoman who once was in the news for asking if the cameras used in the Mars probe could pick out the U.S. flag left there by American astronauts? She literally, actually asked at NASA, did they get a picture where Neil Armstrong put the flag on Mars? She's a congresswoman. This is Rush here.
Yeah, that Sheila Jackson Lee, she was visiting NASA in Houston. That's her district. She was in the Johnson Space Center. And a previous Mars rover mission. And one of those missions, they brought Sheila Jackson Lee, a member of Congress, you know, show the money being well spent. And as it's shown, moving around the Martian surface, she said, well, was it going to go to where the astronauts planted the flag? Of course, the staff of the Johnson Space said, okay, we got a woman here who doesn't have the slightest idea that we're talking about Mars, not the moon. How do we, A, not laugh, and then how do we answer her question without embarrassing her, because there's a lot of other people here?
You know what they responded to Rush when he brought that up? Called him a racist. Wow. He didn't even bring up a race. And you can read more. This is a left-wing publication, by the way. They have an article called, this is another one of her wise statements, "The Constitution is 400 years old." She said that. And more pearls from Sheila Jackson Lee. And that's a leftist, left-wing organization, Daily Beast. That they're even admitting how far gone she is. So, that's just, I've shown you over and over and over through the years that the so-called educators, the so-called intellectuals, they're some of the dumbest people you'll ever talk to, the dumbest people you ever read. So you better go into it with that. I'm reading a book right now by Michael Gielen called Believing is Seeing. Most of the book, he's explaining exactly what I'm talking about. He was the ABC science reporter for Good Morning America, ABC News, and ABC Nightline for years. And he's saying what I'm telling you tonight. But he's not talking about politicians. He's talking about scientists. The so-called scientists. That they are involved, they are part of a cult. And that they have to believe unprovable axioms in order to then believe what they believe, and then they accuse you of being believing in faith rather than science. That's what they say. All right, the Lord's controversy, Micah 6:1-5. We begin our study of Micah 6 with the Lord calling Israel to account and to hear their responses to the Lord's controversy, as we're going to read it here. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. I want you to read the odd with me, so start with me right there in verse 1. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Amen? So Micah speaks on the Lord's behalf here to Israel, and we'll see the call to dispute. He's actually going to call it calling them to the mat. So then he'll present his statement of the controversy, and then he'll discuss his own mercy. So the Lord wants this to get top billing and go viral in today's terminology. That's why he's saying what he says here in verse 1. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Hear ye. That's how I suppose in the movies it's always how they announce big things in the, you know, when the king is going to come in, you know. So some take this to be symbolic or a symbolic call to the nations because he uses the words mountain. I'm going to let just quote J. Vernon McGee here so you know what I mean. Quote, I believe that there is also an application here that we see elsewhere in Scripture too. A mountain represents a great kingdom and a hill represents a lesser kingdom. I would say, therefore, that this is a call not only to nature, but also to the nations of the world. In other words, here is a message which is applicable to all the nations of the world. Now, I'm not saying that that's not like a bad statement or anything, but my reason why I don't follow that line is because the reality is the nations would not witness this controversy until many centuries later, when the Bible was distributed throughout the world by Christian missionaries. So the application itself is that this is all about the mountains and the hills of Israel. I don't believe it's an international...